What's the difference between someone who worries and the birds of the air? Here's Skip Heitzig with the answer.
I challenge you. Find a worried bird. Have you ever seen one? You ever seen one sweating, worried, drops its little beak in its claws like, honey, I don't know if we can pay the rent on the nest this month. No, they sing, don't they? There's joy. You never see one worried. I agree with the pundit who said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it never takes you anywhere.
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
There was once a little chicken who was so worried about the sky falling that she almost led several of her feathered friends into the home of a fox that was intent on having a delicious bird dinner. The moral of Chicken Little's story is worry not only affects us, but also the people around us, and it can lead us into some dangerous situations. There is, however, an antidote to worry, and we'll discover what that is today on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But before we get to that message, we wanted to let you know about a role you can play in global evangelism. Skip?
It may be hard to imagine, but right now, thousands of Christians are being persecuted for their faith in Christ. These stories need to be told so we can pray and so we can take action. This month on The Connection, our global connectors will receive the remarkable documentary called A Cry from Iran. This DVD recounts true stories of courage and faith in the face of radical Islam. I'm sure that you'd be encouraged and challenged by watching these true stories. Here's how you can receive this DVD and become a global connector.
Would you be willing to go to prison if your only crime was converting to Christianity? Would you be willing to die because you converted to Christianity?
Fire!
These are not choices we have to face now in America. But throughout the rest of the world, Christians face jail, torture, and even death for their faith. You can see amazing stories of faith and courage in the documentary film, A Cry from Iran. This is our gift this month for Global Connectors. With just $25 a month, you'll be a part of Global Connectors, and each month you'll receive a new resource such as the inspiring DVD, A Cry from Iran. Join now with a donation of just $25 when you call 1-800-922-1888. When part of the church suffers, the whole body suffers. Join the Global Connectors today when you call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
While it may be impossible to avoid worry completely, we can stop its negative effects on our lives. And we'll find out more in today's study.
And make the connection.
There may be lots of reasons for us to worry, but as we'll learn today, God is bigger than even an entire world of worry. Let's join Skip Heitzig.
We're calling this message this morning, The Woeful World of Worry, which is a tongue twister, I'll admit, and it was done by design, because worry will do that to you. It just twists you up. The word worry in English comes from a German word, Wurgen, or we would say Wurgen, which means to choke or to strain. In the Greek language, it means to tear or to rip. The text that we want to look at this morning is in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25, where Jesus continues in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on.
Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. I got on the internet and I typed in the word worry, and I got back 1,200,000 hits. I found some institutes on worrying. I found chat rooms. I found bulletin boards. And one particular website that stuck out to me was a website called Addicted to Worrying. Addicted to Worrying. What it was a bulletin board, basically, where people share their woes, their worries, their troubles. And I guess it normalizes it for them as they're able to read what bothers, what worries other people. So I have a sampling of this internet site called Addicted to Worrying. Here's a few of the emails. One person emailed, I worry that when my coworkers get a lottery pool going and I don't join in, that we'll win and everyone will quit and I'll have to do all this work by myself. Another wrote in, I worry that when I'm ice skating, I will fall and another skater will pass by and the blade of his skates will slice off my fingers. Okay. Here's one. I worry that my cat will sit on my face while I'm sleeping and I'll suffocate. Yeah, that's a worry, isn't it? Another wrote, I worry that there are spiders and bugs in my bed, and they will crawl all over me and get into my nose and my mouth and my ears. This one I can relate to. I worry that one day they will stop making chocolate and I will starve to death. I worry that exact same thing. I don't think there's any greater emotional tyrant in our society than worry. How many times have you heard of or read the word stress in the last decade or 15 years? It's everywhere. And you see it on so many people's faces. You see it on the freeways. You see it as you walk down the streets and on the street corners in the malls as people are shopping. Worries etched on their faces. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety is the most frequently reported mental health problem, and this study reported that 13 million Americans spend the better part of their day worried. You say, well, what are we worried about? According to U.S. News and World Report, most people, when it comes to non-personal issues, are worried about violence, drugs, inflation, famine elsewhere in the world, threats of war, and of course, high on the list, terrorism. On a personal level, the same study reported, we worry that we're wasting too much time, that we don't read enough, that we don't attend church enough. We worry about overeating, and we worry about overspending. This morning, in this paragraph that we're going to look at, Jesus tells us not to worry. And he says that This kind of anxiety, this kind of stress is both unwarranted for a child of God and unnecessary for a child of God. It's unwarranted because he says not to do it, and it's unnecessary for a few reasons that we're going to look at this morning. First of all, I want you to notice that three times in our text, Jesus gives us a command, do not worry. It's found in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry. Verse 31, therefore do not worry. And in verse 34, therefore do not worry. That's a commandment, not a suggestion. And the original language is even more direct. It indicates there is an action already going on that Jesus says, stop doing what you're doing. The Amplified Bible renders it, stop being perpetually uneasy, that is, anxious and worried about your life. In our text, we see the word worry. That's sort of the kingpin fulcrum text word, worry. It's mentioned three times in our text, but the word in the original language appears 19 times in the New Testament. Now, let me tell you what it means and what it is in the original. The original Greek term for worry is a word merimnao, which comes from a combination of two words that are very picturesque. Merizo, which means to rip or to tear, and the word nous, which means the mind. You put it together, worry literally means to tear the mind. And that's what worry, it's like a two-headed monster, isn't it? It takes you in two different directions. James said the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's worry. So there is the command. Worry is unwarranted for a child of God. Do not worry. Now, having said that, don't read between the lines and think that Jesus is saying, be lazy. Kick back. Don't get involved. Don't exert yourself, because a lot of people would say, don't worry about it, like, let me just skate. Well, that can't be what he means, because Jesus uses the illustration of birds, and birds are very industrious. Birds don't open their beaks in the morning, pointed toward heaven, expecting God to drop a worm in. We even have a saying, don't we? The early bird catches the worm. They're very industrious. But what it does mean when Jesus gives this command is an anxious over-concern that can rip at our minds and our hearts. An anxious over-concern that will strangle you. And again, the illustration is classic. He says, look at the birds of the air, which is something you ought to do from time to time. Actually, spend some time looking for a bird, and I challenge you, find a worried bird. Have you ever seen one? You ever seen one sweating, worried, drops its little beak in its claws like, honey, I don't know if we can pay the rent on the nest this month. No, they sing, don't they? There's joy. You never see one worried. I agree with the pundit who said, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it never takes you anywhere. There was some studies done at the University of Wisconsin, and the studies said that 40% of the things we worry about as people never happen. 40% never happen. Same study said 30% are worries over our past that you can't change anyway. 12% are worries about other people's criticisms toward us that are often untrue. 10% are worries over our own health, which last time I checked won't be helped by worry, but actually is detrimental to your health. Only 8%, this study said, are legitimate worries and fears. Only of all the things you worry about, only 8% are worth it. The other stuff isn't. Here's a few more things to throw in the mix. A British clinic examined 500 patients. They discovered a third of all the visual problems presented in the studies were directly related to stress. A third of the visual problems directly related to worry and stress. Dr. Leonard Fosdick from Northwestern University did his own studies and said stress, anxiety, worry restricts the flow of saliva in the mouth so that the natural acids are not neutralized and tooth decay goes up. Another independent study of 5,000 students from 21 different universities showed that worriers get lower grades. And study after study, medical research after medical research have shown that worry breaks down our resistance to disease. So you put all of that together, and I guess it means if you want to be a blind, diseased, flunky with no teeth, then worry yourself silly. Worry is unwarranted for a child of God. Do not worry. The second thing, and we want to spend a little more time on this, is worry is unnecessary for a follower of Christ, and Jesus tells us why. What I love about the way Jesus teaches, he doesn't just toss out a command and walk away from it. He gives you legitimate reasons why not to worry. Remember that song a few years ago by Bobby McFerrin? In every life there is some trouble. When you worry, you make a double. So don't worry, be happy. It's a great little tune, but it really gives you no help, no solutions. Jesus tells you why not to worry, and there's three of them in our text. Because you're slaves and God is your master. Because you're sons and God is your father. And because you're servants and God is your ruler. Now go back and look at verse 25. It says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. You know, one of the problems we have in reading the Bible so often is we neglect important words, important transitions, like in this verse. Therefore, and there's a little rule we have now around here. Whenever there's a therefore, find out what it's there for. You don't just begin a thought. You don't walk up to someone and go, therefore. It means you've said something first and you're referring to what you said. And so we read this and unfortunately we separate it contextually from what went before and we can't do that. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry refers to the previous verse. Let's look at it. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate one and love the other or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? In other words, I want to be your master, Jesus is saying. And that relationship of bond slave to master makes worrying unnecessary. If you're a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, you got nothing to worry about. Now, that relationship, master, bond slave, implies a few things. Number one, it implies God owns everything. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. God owns everyone. God owns everything because he created everyone and everything. And God owns you if you're a Christian. Not just because he created you, but because he bought you with blood. You're redeemed. You're owned by virtue of redemption, not just creation. You may have heard the story of the little boy who made a gingerbread man, and the gingerbread man ran away and couldn't find it, searched all over town for it. Finally, he looked inside the shop of a bakery, and there was his gingerbread man, except it had a little sign on it, 25 cents. And he ran into the store and he said, excuse me, sir, that's my gingerbread man. Oh, really? Well, it'll cost you 25 cents to get it. Oh, you don't understand. I made it. It's mine. I created it. It's going to cost you 25 cents. Well, they argued back and forth and finally the boy gave the quarter, walked out of the store with the gingerbread man he had made, took it home and smashed it. No, I'm just kidding. Didn't do that. But he could have. He said, you're mine because I made you. And now you're mine again because I bought you. And God could say that to you. You're mine because I made you, but you ran away from me. Now you're mine because I bought you. So when we say, you know, I've got nothing to worry about because God is my master, I'm his bondslave, we realize God owns everything. Thus, when he gives you something, you rejoice. When he takes something away, you rejoice, because it was his anyway. Job said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A man ran up to John Wesley once and said, your house burned down. Wesley said, I don't have a house. The one I was living in belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and if it's burned down, it's one less thing for me to worry about. Wow. God is my master. He owns everything. It implies something else. If God is my master, he'll provide everything. You see, there was a relationship 2,000 years ago between slaves and owners. We think of slaves and we think of American slavery. I want you to go back and think of the times of the Romans and the Greeks. In those days, though a slave was owned by a master, the master was responsible to provide every need of the slave and his family. And would you notice in verse 25, the most basic needs are mentioned. What you eat, what you drink, and what you put on, all of those things masters had to provide for their slaves. God will provide for you. Now, I'll tell you this. You may not have steak and lobster for dinner every night of the week. It might not be gourmet. It might not be the best of the best. But I will guarantee you, none of you will starve to death this week. God will take care of you. And let me press it just a little further. Don't you think worrying is an insult to God as the provider? It's like saying, you can't do it, can you? If he's the master, let him be the master. Did you hear about the worry wart? He worried so much that his friends made fun of him. Because everywhere he went, his face was scowling, his countenance was down, and his friends used to make him the laughingstock of all their jokes. So, one day, just as a joke, their friend said, hey, Fred, you know, you worry so much, you ought to just hire somebody to worry for you. Well, they saw him 2 weeks later, and Fred was smiling and whistling. He said, Fred, what's up? He said, well, I took your advice, and I hired somebody to worry for me. I'm not worried anymore. They said, you're kidding, right? No, serious. I'm not worried at all. Well, Fred, what are you paying this guy? I'm paying him $100,000 a year. Well, Fred, you don't even make $50,000 a year. How are you going to pay a guy $100,000 a year to worry for? He said, I don't know. That's his worry. You ever thought about it? Let God worry about you. If you belong to him anyway, if you're his property, it's his worry then, isn't it?
You know, few things can give us a greater sense of peace than knowing that we serve a God who's loving and powerful and who cares about our worries. And I hope that you're experiencing that kind of peace in your own life. And if you're not, be sure to join us again next time as we learn more about how faith can help eliminate worry. Now, if you'd like to get a copy of today's entire message, The Woeful World of Worry, we'd be happy to send you one for just $6. That includes shipping when you contact us at 1-800-922-1888. You can also order by logging onto our website at connectionradio.org. Also, keep in mind that this ministry depends on the support of our listeners. So anytime you can share a little extra, that will help us continue to bring you these daily programs. Call us today, won't you, at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. And now, here's Skip Heitzig with a closing prayer to end our time today.
Heavenly Father, what a wonderful thing it is to be able to say that to you, the God of the universe. Heavenly Father, we come to you as children, men and women, but little children in their Father's care, who knows everything we need before we ask. And you, Lord, as God, tell us not to worry. It's unwarranted. It's unnecessary. If you're our master, and if you're our father, and if as servants you're the ruler, I pray, Lord, that rather than worry, we would shift our energy, direct our energies to the kingdom of God, and that More and more, our lives would reflect a real concern for people's eternity.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find a way into His love. Make the connection.
Is often just an accepted part of modern life, but we don't have to just cope with it. We can conquer it. Join us again next time to find out how. The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications.